sun is up, the sky is blue, it's beautiful, and so are you, dear. Won't you come out to play?
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and it's that time again for us to go back into the lab, and I see Chris getting his lab coat on, and I see he's got his glasses ready, and it's that time again to go back under the microscope, and we're excited about this tune that we're going to talk about that you just heard a little of, the demo, because we've had a bunch of listeners suggest that we talk about some White Album tracks or the album, and so we thought, you know, it's time to do a little bit of a look at the White Album and a really iconic Lennon track. So we're going to be talking about Dear Prudence today.
If you're a super duper long time A plus listener who was with us, I don't know, maybe two people with us from episode one, you would have heard us talk about this in the context of the White Album, and I think we both gave it a favorable thumbs up review, so that's no surprise, really. It's a great song, very popular, much covered, as we'll see.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We'll see a little bit later.
It's very much a period piece. I find it very much evokes that India experience, because this is what it was written when the Beatles were in Rishikesh, India, and it just has an aura about it. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's like a very spiritual kind of aura, even though the subject matter is not necessarily, I mean, I guess it is sort of spiritual, given who it's about and what was happening, but there's just kind of like an aura about this tune.
I don't know about you, but I really like these written in Rishikesh songs.
Yes.
Child of Nature and Dear Prudence here and a few others like that. I really enjoy them. I think they do have that sort of, they reflect the area that they were written.
Yeah.
I think a little bit.
Very much so. And we're going to talk about the ways it reflects their Indian experience, both in the lyrics and in the music. So we'll dig into it now, and then we'll discuss the lyrics and music, play some interesting covers that you may not have heard before, and then we'll go out and you can hear the whole thing and make your mind up about it. So it was recorded on August 28th and 29th, 1968, so right in the middle of the White Album period, but kind of an unusual twist in the personnel, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you tell us who was on drums on this one?
Yeah, well, Ringo had quit the band, well, quote-unquote quit the band on August 22nd, 1968, and so Paul
went to sulk for a couple days.
Yep, went to sulk. Yeah, and then in his place, Paul is playing drums on this track. So this was recorded on the 28th and 29th, so a few days later. And I was, was reading some things about this, and there's some debate whether it really is Paul. I mean, I think the studio records say that it was Paul, but you know, there was this internet flame war going back and forth, like at the end saying, oh, it couldn't be Paul because he's not as good of a drummer as Ringo at the end, and it's all this stuff. But, I mean, wasn't there a quote that Ringo was the second best drummer in the Beatles or something like that?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree. No, no. But it's definitely McCartney on drums.
Hey, we recently heard him just jamming out on Ain't No Sunshine.
That's true.
In a recent episode. So.
That's true. You got Paul on drums and bass and a little flugelhorn or bugle or something that happens right at the end. You can barely hear it. And then George on the lead guitar and background vocals. You got John on guitar, of course, and lead. And then a couple of extras on this track, too, including one of your famous to-be-discussed Apple scruffs.
Oh, Jackie Lomax?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're also, don't forget Paul's, like, crazy piano, like,
yes,
twinkle there. That's towards true. The end. I don't know if we want to jump right into the discussion of the music of this, but something that really stood out to me during the listening of this that I hadn't noticed before was the background vocals, when they first come in, are so high.
Yes.
Might be the highest background vocals I can remember. Mm-hmm. I'm sure our listeners will be like, no, there's this song and that song, but just really high. Almost doesn't sound like them at all.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd. And then later, it's like very low. Round.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of use of background vocals on this. And very, they change from being really prominent to being more subtle in the texture. And the aura, as I said, the aura about this song really stands out. And I think a big part of it musically is because of John's guitar playing, which you hear a lot on this album, which was influenced by somebody else who was in Rishikesh with them. I don't know if you're a big fan of Donovan, but he certainly influenced John's guitar playing on this song and on Julia and Happiness is a Warm Gun and some other tunes. He taught him this style of guitar playing called claw hammer style, which is taking a banjo technique and where you pluck with two of your fingers a couple of the notes and then fill in the rest. And so it's like a very distinctive folk flamenco type guitar technique. And there's a great clip on YouTube of Donovan talking about how he taught John Lennon to do this, and he said John picked it up very quickly and was just really fascinated by it, so he's doing it all the time. So that gives it the aura, I think, that particular guitar playing effect.
Yeah, the guitar on this, really great. Yeah. Really, really great. And the bass. Mm-hmm. Bass is just incredible.
Yeah.
Now, what about the key? It's really interesting, I think.
Yeah. So the version you just heard opening the show was actually in the key of C sharp. It was down a half step. The actual tune is in D major, and the way you play it on guitar is what we call drop D tuning. So you actually tune the bottom E string, the lowest string, drop it down a step to D. So you get a really full, rich, resonant sound on the guitar. It's really like very, it affects you physically because it just is such a warm, I don't know, it's a very nice feeling to play that actually.
Yeah.
And you have all these open strings ringing and it's just got a very low kind of sound and this descending bass line that steps down the whole way with this D droning away. It's got a drone, which again reminds you of Indian music. So if you want to play the guitar, play it on the guitar, you have to first tune your low E string down to a D, and it fits really well under your fingers. It flows well, and it's very circular, which I think of as kind of being this song. The whole spirituality is very circular, of meditation and what they're thinking about, what they were doing, getting up every day, eating, going out and meditating, walking in the jungle, and playing music. So I don't know. Yeah. It's very, very spiritual.
Yeah, I think so too. Now it was spiritual, but not as, it was actually written about someone who might have been a little bit too spiritual.
Right.
It was written about the sister of Mia Farrow, Prudence Farrow.
Is that a flower child name if there ever was one?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's just the type of, probably rich white person. Yeah. White privileged girl name of the time that had people roll around. Yes. Like, oh, of course she can go and meditate for a month or whatever she wants to do.
Right.
Well, I thought I'd start this out by playing the end of this demo where John tells you a little story about Prudence Farrow. It's kind of difficult to make out, so we'll play it and then I'll read you some quotes from the anthology book and a couple other things.
Sooner or later, she was to go completely berserk under the care of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. All the people around were very worried about the girl because she was going insane. So we sang you. Thank you.
Yeah.
She was going completely insane.
Yeah. And that demo is just so beautiful too. That was recorded at George Harrison's house in Esher, and where they recorded a lot of the White Album. That's actually one of the best bootlegs, if you can dig that out somewhere, to find all the White Album demos. Really, it should be released someday. But that particular version is so beautifully done and hypnotic. And then I love, yeah, it sort of lightens up when he tells the story at the end. And so she, how long was she in there, did they say?
Well, here's a few things. So from the anthology, you know how the anthology book is written, just says the person's name. So Ringo says, Prudence meditated and hibernated. We saw her twice in the 2 weeks I was there. Everyone would be banging on the door. Are you still alive? John, no one was to know that sooner or later she was to go completely berserk under the care of Maharishi. All the people around her were very worried about the girl because she was going insane, so we sang to her. And then from the book All We Are Saying, he says something very funny. He says, a song about Mia Farrow's sister, who seemed to go slightly barmy.
Barmy.
Meditating too long and couldn't come out of that little hut we were living in. Rolling Stone, from September 4th, 2015... actually had an interview with Prudence Farrow.
Oh, very
now
recently.
Prudence Farrow Bruns.
Oh.
And she was talking about her own, I mean, she's basically like, yeah, it's true. So here's the question from the interviewer. You're very dedicated to meditation. You were doing it for 8 hours a day in your room. It was more than that. I had been doing 5 days straight. I hadn't gone to the bathroom. I hadn't slept and I hadn't eaten. After that, Maharishi realized what he was dealing with.
Wow, that's dedication.
And then they asked her about the Beatles, being around the Beatles, and she said, why weren't you starstruck by meeting the Beatles? I had been around famous people, but it had not been so interesting. The Beatles being there, I can honestly say, did not mean anything to me. But those two people I met, John and George, I really liked them, and they were very much up my alley. They were musicians. They had other interests, whereas I really only had one interest, which was to be and get the maximum I could from that time. I was so much more extreme. So,
interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Prudence Farrow.
Prudence Farrow. Yeah, they were worried about her. So apart from the main lyric, you know, you hear the part that seems really directed to her with the come out, won't you come out and play? It's how do you describe the lyrics and the way it's like some of the imagery with you know, the daisy chains and clouds and all that? What's your story? What do you think of the lyrics?
Well, you know, I was really thinking about this, and even though it's a very specific song that they specifically wrote in a specific circumstance, there are probably times when all of us have had the experience of like your friend is sort of bummed out and off on his own or locking himself away. And you're like, come out and live life. Don't just shut yourself away. So that's why I think this song connects and why there's like, I had to go through like 50 cover versions of it to fully research this. It's just like, I mean, it really connects with people because I think it is universal in that way. So that look around at life, look around.
That goes to the, like we've talked about in a couple of shows about the idea of text painting, where the text and the music reflect each other. And there's a good example of it. Look around, round, round. And it's just circling around these chords. And just the whole thing is very circular, and it's just put together so well that these images are, you can really see them, and they're like very tangible kinds of things. Clouds will be a daisy chain, and let me see you smile, and all that stuff.
You know, as has come up recently on a few of these episodes, I'm a guy who meditates, and some of the teachings of meditation can go to the extremes where you're like, are on weekend retreats and you're hiding away forever, but the teachers, multiple probably, that I've paid attention to, they're like, we like when you meditate, when you're in a negative space, especially if you meditate and get into a neutral space. But what you really want to be in is, we'd prefer you to be living life in a place of appreciation. Huh. So appreciation is greater than meditation, really.
Yeah.
To be living life, to be appreciating and loving things around you. And I think that's what John was trying to say to this girl. It's like, come out at least once in a while and see that there's a beautiful place that we're at. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty nice message. Interesting, as we kind of move into the cover songs, it's, you know, with some Beatles songs, it's easy to change either the chords or the feel or the sound of the song. But I think it's, at least in the cover songs that I know of, this, it's really hard to change this song. It's very distinctive musically.
Yeah. I try to find the ones that are a little different, or there's some different stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've done this under the microscope like 4 or 5 times now. And, you know, for the most part, interpretations stay pretty true to the main. I mean, it's the Beatles, too. So it's
that's true.
They probably did it best.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the idea in people's heads. So, but what we'll start with is somebody, Ramsey Lewis. We played him before on one of our covers.
Chicago native Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah, and you know, he's got that album Mother Nature's Son, which is all Beatles covers. And they're real cool sounding. So here's Ramsey Lewis with his version of Dear Prudence. So what do you think of Ramsey Lewis there, Dave?
I love the feel. I love the strings kind of creeping in there at the end, and the bass part, do, 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 do. Ah, it's great. I love Ramsey Lewis stuff, yeah.
So Ramsey Lewis, that's first choice there. Now, it's almost impossible to not play what was a number 3 hit song for the gothic rock group Susie and the Banshees. You big Susie and the Banshees guy, Dave?
They were really popular in high school, weren't they? I think it was high school. I did not really get into that kind of stuff, but I remember this version because it was a big hit.
Here's their version of Dear Prudence. Pretty good.
Hey!
So there's Susie Sue with Susie and the Banshees. Now, them even doing a song about, you know, it seems kind of ironic coming from them, actually, because the whole goth thing is like staying in and everything's dark and awful, wearing all black and black lipstick and stuff of that nature. So I think it really, it's an interesting twist on the song, and that's probably why it's a big hit.
What do you think about the fact how they changed the feel of it into a much heavier, like much faster beat driven? Do you think it works still?
Yeah, I like their they're sort of experimental for the time, and have a lot of like keyboards and things of that nature in their music, and I think they're not too bad. I like it. Now, let's see if you like this one. This is guitarist Leslie West, his third album, The Leslie West Band, also featuring Mick Jones of Foreigner.
Ooh.
And we're going to start this one sort of so we're not just going over the same minute. Here's The Leslie West Band with Dear Prudence. Reactions?
Wow. Well, some Leslie West guitar playing. I think he was in the group Mountain, if I remember correctly.
So.
Yeah, he was a pretty good guitar player, as you can tell. He sort of sounds like Greg Allman or something. It's like a little bit Allman Brothers-y with the feel of it. I like that little break at the end there. That was cool with the guitar by itself. That was a little bit more of the feel of the original, but didn't sound quite like it.
No, especially with those funky background vocals.
Yeah, yeah.
With your baby. I don't know if you've got this Japanese import, Dave. Happy birthday, John, John Lennon 50th birthday. Released only in Japan. And one of the five songs on it is Dear Prudence.
Oh.
Done by a mixture of performance from the Friends of Earth, but they are backing one Mr. Sean Ono Lennon. So let's hear Sean Lennon doing Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play? Dear Prudence, greet the brand new day. Sun is up, sky is blue, beautiful, so are you, dear Prudence. Won't you come out?
Now that's like 25 years ago already. So
you're kidding?
How? Yeah, because that was for the 50th birthday, and he just had that 75th birthday concert. So,
yeah, golly,
how young was he? Looks pretty young in this. In this video, you should definitely watch the video because you can see that he is playing the soprano sax that you heard, and you can also see a lot of Yoko waving and pointing.
She's into it. Yeah.
Doing Yoko things. So, and then we're gonna play one more from this guy. David Paul.
Yes, this was a
my favorite. Very seriously, one of my favorite singers.
I think you've got his collected works, actually.
I have his collected works.
This is a version that I recorded for a friend of the show, Charlotte, who you and I both went to the University of Illinois with. And this was her favorite song. And so I think it was for her birthday. I surprised her and recorded this version in my house in Florida. And I'm playing everything, singing everything. So thanks for indulging here as you listen to a little of my version of Dear Prudence.
Very great.
Oh, thanks.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, it was very fun.
I'm a big David Paul fan.
Thank you.
Way back.
Oh, yeah.
So other thought.
Not much, except it just has a, I don't know, it's kind of got a special place also on the White Album because of how it starts coming out of, back in the USSR with the plane flying away, and then you hear it sort of come out of that. You hear the guitar picking, and it's so well placed on the album, I think.
The mono version doesn't fade, I think, as much as the stereo version at the end of it. But otherwise, pretty not a wildly different mono version than the stereo one. But yeah, it's always been one of my favorites. It's a really great song. I love it. It definitely made our White Album and not our Off-White.
Yes.
thumbs way up.
Yeah, absolutely. So encourage you, as I said, to go check out the full version of the demo. You can find that on YouTube.
Yeah.
And check out the demo because it's just, like, I don't know, very hypnotic, I think. Yeah, well, very good. Nice to get into a White Album tune. I guess this is our second White Album tune under the microscope because we did Helter Skelter, too. So.
Oh, that's right. Eventually. Where will we go for the next? I think we know.
Yes.
I think we discussed we're going to go something very different for the next Under the Microscope.
Yes, we are.
But our next episode is someone I've been looking forward to for a long time.
Yes, this is it's going to be fun. I think Chris is going to steer a lot of it because this is like right up his alley for what we're going to do. We can't really give it away, but we'll just say it's about a certain Beatle that's on tour right now. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So narrows it down.
Yeah. So share your. Feel free to share your. If you're seeing Paul these days, post a report to our Facebook page. We've had some people do that for attending the Fest for Beatle Fans and other things that they've found. So let us know. And also, if you have a ticket to the big Coachella concert coming up in October to see Paul and the Stones and
Oh yeah, what
Dylan.
Is that? Desert something?
Yeah.
Desert Trip?
Yeah.
Desert Trip. I believe they added a second weekend to that too.
Oh, did they?
So, yeah, wow. So it'll be two weekends of it.
How much would you pay for live streaming on that
one? Oh, for live streaming?
Yeah,
like $20.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. How about for a real?
Well, I've seen, you know, I've not seen Rolling Stones.
Me neither.
Live, and I've not seen Neil Young live, and I've not seen and always really wanted to see Roger Waters. Yeah. The other three I've seen. The Who were pretty good. Dylan's not that great live.
Anyway, let us know if you're lucky yeah. enough to go out to that. So,
or if you see the, also let us know if anyone out there sees the tour of Sean Lennon and Les Claypool, because I'm very interested in that and if it's any good. I haven't really dug into that album or heard much about that tour. So if you hear anything about that, let us know.
Sounds good. Well, so thanks for listening, and go spin some Dear Prudence. We're going to spin it for you here at the end in full, so you can think about what we talked about.
Yeah, listen for those super high background vocals. It'll
and
blow
also,
your mind.
Not only that, yeah, I forgot to mention also, Walt Everett, the theorist who writes the Beatles as musicians, points out that this may be the highest lead guitar line that George ever plays right at the end too.
So oh yeah,
it's like very much in extremes in this song, so check that out as you listen to the end of the song. So anyway, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.